with you tonight and you'd like to read along with me, I may well, I know for one place I am going to turn in the scriptures, but there may be one other place that I turn in the scriptures. If you don't have time to turn with me, I'll give you the scriptures afterwards. But you listen to God's word if you don't listen to anything else I have to say. It's God's word that we need in this day more than we need anything. His word is life to us. His word is medicine to us. His word is instruction to us. His word is peace to us. His word is joy to us. His word is what we need every day of our lives. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." So if you're having a problem with sin today, maybe you're not reading the word enough. Because the Bible says if you hide that word in your heart, then you won't sin against the Lord. I talk to Seth, my youngest grandson, often. And I used to tell him, when I used to take him to violin lessons every week, I'd ask him, "Has God been talking to you lately?" And by that I meant, has he been reading the Word of God lately? And he'd say he'd been praying, and I'd say, "Well, what if you talked to your daddy, and your daddy never said anything back to you? How would you feel?" And sometimes we pray a lot, and sometimes we want to talk to God, but we need that Word to talk back to us, because that's His spoken Word to us also. I know there's special times that we have that we come together that maybe somebody is gifted and there's a special word that is given to us. But most of the time, it's through the Spirit that whispers to us in our inner self, or else the written Word of God that we rely on for mostly everything that we have. I'm thankful that God can still speak openly or out loud or ever how He wants to. But He mostly uses His Word, so the Word is very important for us to read. And that's why I always say, when the Lord called me to preach at 14, He told me to preach His Word. And that's what I've always endeavored to preach. When my son told me, I knew he was called to preach at a very young age, but I waited for the Lord to speak to him on that issue. And when he came to me and told me that God had spoken to him to preach, I talked to him about how important it was that he preached the Word, more so than anything else. Anything else. Have you ever seen people more moved by stories than they are by the Word? I think stories are wonderful and they move us, and I am moved by them. But we need to be moved by the Word. We need to be moved by the Word of God. So let's let the Word of God move us tonight. I'm going to preach to you just a few minutes on Job chapter 36. I'm just going to read part of a verse of Scripture. Actually, I'm just going to quote it to you. And you can go home and later and read or whatever. But this is what I felt that the Lord would have me to preach on tonight. In Job chapter 36 and verse 7, it says this in the very first sentence. And that's all I want to focus on tonight, is that first sentence. And it says this right here. "He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous." I want you to let that sink in for just a moment. "He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous." Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for speaking through us the words that you'd have to be spoken tonight, for they are truth, Lord. Anoint each one of our ears to hear what you would have to say. And Lord, just let my mouth speak the things that you would have me to say, Lord. All the things that I've studied today, Lord, let them come to my mind, Lord, to speak. Or else if they don't come, Lord, then just let me go the way that the Spirit would have me speak, God, so that your word can be completely what you would have it to be in this place. We rely on you. We put all of our hope and our strength in you, Lord. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. "He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous." For just a few minutes tonight, I want to speak to you on divine vision. Divine vision. Now, vision is something that's very important in this life. We rely on it in everything that we do. We can't get in our car and drive without having vision. We can't read our Bible without having vision. We can't see our way to walk or see where to go without vision. We can't do anything. We can't see the prices in the grocery store. We can't watch television. We can't do anything without that vision. I realize that there are some people in this world that's born blind, and there are some people in the world that go blind later on. And they have resources available to them, and they learn how to get along without having vision. But it's difficult for those people. I mean, they do have situations and they do have problems with that because they can't see. So vision is something that's very important. And God's eyes sees, and that's vision. And man's eyes sees, and that's vision also. Jesus put a lot of importance on what we see and how we see. We see that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, when he spoke this very harsh verse of Scripture that's difficult to understand. And there have been many people that speculated on it to see if maybe Jesus was speaking literally or he was speaking some other kind of way. But I think Jesus says what he means and means what he says. So I think that he meant it literally. And people say, well, how could that be? Well, ask God when you get there, because I don't know. I just know that Jesus said it. He said, and if thine eye offend thee, or if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is profitable for you to be blind in this life rather than have one of your members to perish, than it is for you to go whole and to be cast into hell. So what is Jesus talking about? He's talking about sometimes the way men see and the way we look in this life and the vision that we have through our eyes causes sin and causes things to happen in our life. And that's true. We see lots of people getting in trouble all the time because of their vision, because of their eyesight, because of how they look. And Jesus thought it was so important that he said, if it's going to cause you to sin and it's going to cause you to be messed up in life, just go ahead and get it out of you and cast it away from you. If it's going to cause you to die and go to hell, well, how can that be, Sister Judy? Well, that can be a number of ways. We can look at just a very few examples in the Word of God where men's vision got them in trouble. And the very first one in Scripture is in Genesis chapter 3. And God had already spoken to Adam and Eve, and God had already placed them in the garden, and God had already gave them all the splendor and all the things that they would ever need for life. And he said unto them, everything you can have except this one tree over here, the tree of knowledge to know good and evil. He said, don't eat of that tree, everything else you can eat of. But then the Bible makes this statement in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. And when Eve saw the tree that it was good to look upon, she took of the fruit of that tree, and she instigated sin into the world through disobedience to God's word. So you see, vision got her in trouble. We see David in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, it was a time for kings to go to war, but David sent Joab, his captain, and he stayed home. And at evening he was walking on his rooftop, and he saw a woman washing. He saw a woman washing, and his vision caused him to begin to lust after this woman, and it caused him to instigate adultery in his life. It caused him to instigate murder. It caused him, when God finally sent Nathan the prophet to him to tell him how much he had messed up through his vision and through his eyesight, he said this word to him. He said, by this sin that you've committed, you have caused The nations round about, your enemies, to blaspheme the God of Israel. See, they knew who David was. They knew that David was the one who slew the giant. They knew that David was the one that danced before the Lord with all of his might. They knew that David was the one who had won battles and the one who'd done everything. But David's eyesight and God and his vision got him in trouble. So we have to be very careful about our vision and man's visions, because that can happen. The Bible says in Judges, I believe it's chapter 7, it talks about a man when they had destroyed one of the cities. The instructions for Moses was, or the man of God that was leading at that particular time, to go in and to destroy all the spoils. Don't take anything. This city is cursed before God. And don't go in, don't do anything. Don't take anything. I don't want you to take one garment out of the city. I don't want anything to happen. But when the time came and sin was found out and who it was, it fell on a man by the name of Achan. And the Bible said, this is what he said. And when I saw a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, I took those things and I hid them in the midst of my tent. You see, his vision got him in trouble. And his vision caused him to sin. So you see how important that God thinks about vision and God thinks about what is right in life. But here we're talking about divine vision. When I speak to you about the failures of mankind because of vision, and we turn our eyes toward God's vision, oh, how wonderful it is. Over and over in the Scripture it talks about the eyes of God seeing this and the eyes of God seeing that. And it's very important to us. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, it says this verse that we rely on as Christians and that we repeat to God and to other people many times. His eyes are over the righteous and his ears are open to their cries. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, I quote this scripture many times, and Jonathan does, and many of you probably rely on it too. For the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. It's talking about God's vision and divine vision and how he looks over the whole world. The Bible said he moves and he looks throughout the whole earth. And the whole world, that's God's vision. So it's important to us about the vision of God. The divine visions of God comprehends all of human life. Can you imagine that? That the vision of God comprehends all of human life. It sees everything that we do, every word that we utter, everything that's said in life. I want to read you a passage that I could quote some of, but I'm afraid I'll leave some of it out because I don't know every little word that's in here. But I want you to listen to what it says about vision and about God looking at us in Psalms chapter 139, and you know it well, but I want to read it to you from his word. There's 12 verses of scripture, and it's talking about the divine vision of God here also. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising, and art acquainted, and thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all of my ways. Do you see this? Do you see the divine vision of God comprehending all of human life? You're acquainted with all of my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, behold, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, Behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. I want you to know today that God Almighty has divine vision, and He comprehends all of human life. Now, if God is comprehending all of human life, and He is not withdrawing His eyes from the righteous, and I just read you how that nothing could hide us from His vision. Nothing can hide. He's acquainted with everything that we do. When you roll over in your bed at night, God is acquainted with that. God's vision is there. If He doesn't withdraw His vision, that means He does not withdraw His vision. So many times, you may be at war with yourself and sleeplessness comes upon you. Do you not know that you are not alone as a righteous man or woman of God? But God's vision is never withdrawn from looking at you. Do you not know that He sees you in the nighttime as you cry tears of pain and tears of sadness that no one else knows about? Look up to God at a time like this and say, God, it's your vision. You're seeing me. It's nothing hid from me. When I used to pray for my mama in Alabama, they put her in a nursing home, and it was 42 miles below my hometown, and I couldn't go home all the time. And she would lay there, and she had situations in her body that required her to have to lay certain ways. How many times I would lie in the nighttime and I would look up to the God of heaven and I would say, God, look at my mama in Opelika, Alabama. I don't know the number of her room. Sometimes they would move them about. But you know and you see and you know all about it, God, because you don't withdraw your eyes. You don't withdraw your eyes from the righteous. Help her. Go there. Ease her pain. If she's laying in one position too long, stir somebody's heart to go in and turn my mama over. Judy, do you really believe that God can do that, honey? I really believe that God can do that. Yes, I do. There have been so many times, you know my story, many of you, and I don't want to repeat myself and bore you with the details tonight, but you know that I'm one of 11 children. And how much I love my family and my brothers and my sister and my mama and my daddy meant so much to me. And so many of them were lost and had problems with alcohol and with drugs and certain things. And my mama, she would pray and I would pray for their salvation. But my mama, she had a hard way to go and she would have strokes and different things would happen to her. And I relied on the God that Job is talking about tonight when he said he withdraweth not his eyes. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous. I relied on him knowing how to deal with my mama. One night they called me, I remember, and they said, Judy, something's wrong with mama. They've sent her home. She's Lurleen, my oldest sister, the one I asked you to pray for. She was letting Mama spend the night. At this time, Mama was still staying at home some, but she's letting Mama spend the night with her. And she said, I'm worried about her because she doesn't seem to know what's going on. And she's just laying there. And I'm really concerned about her. I know you would want to know, even though you can't come home tonight. And I laid there, or I was on my knees one back when I could get on my knees good, and I would pray. And that night I remember I prayed and I said, God, send angels to Roanoke, Alabama, to Airport Road. send angels, God. You know I believe in them because Hebrews chapter 4 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them, Phyllis? For them that are heirs of salvation. I believe in asking God to send forth angels to work in our behalf. But on this particular occasion, I said, God, my sister is there with her. She is not a Christian. Mama has nobody, and she's laying there in that bed, and they say she don't know anything. But God, would you dispatch an angel to Roanoke, Alabama, to Airport Road, and would you go in the room with my mama and lay your hand upon her and touch her? My sister called me the next day, and I tell you the truth tonight. From this pulpit, this is what she said to me. Something strange happened last night. I was sitting in the living room, and Mama was in the bedroom, and I decided I wouldn't go to bed, but I'd sit up with her. And she said, Judy, something opened the front door of my house. Now, angels don't have to open doors, but angels open this door so my sister could see it, so she could call me and tell me so I could know what God had done. And she said, it was like somebody walked through my living room and walked down the hallway and went into Mama's room. She said, I could feel it. I don't know what it was. She said, but when I got up and went and checked on her, Mama was awake and Mama was better. All because a little girl in South Carolina believed that God's eyes are not withdrawn from the righteous. Can I tell you tonight to pray daily for the power of God to be demonstrated in the lives of your loved ones, for our prayers to be answered for you, for He's the same God. And He has no respect of persons. And when you need Him to go somewhere, He'll go somewhere for you. That divine vision works. When we look and we see that divine vision that I talked to you about, and I read you those scriptures about, you have to look at who we're talking about. Look at that verse. Just one little sentence. Job 36 and 7. He withdraweth not His eyes from the righteous. Who in the world is He? I'm telling you who He is tonight. Let me tell you just a little bit about He. He is the one that the Bible said in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, Elohim. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heaven and the earth. In the Hebrew, that means it was a plural name. And it meant the strong one created in the heavens and the earth. In Genesis chapter 2, when after He had created everything and He was dealing with mankind, it said, and the Lord God. Why would it say Lord God when all through chapter 1 He called Him God or Elohim, the strong one? Because Lord means Jehovah in the Hebrew. And Jehovah, when you get all the words that it comes through from Abba and Yahweh and all of that, what does it mean? It means the self-existent one who reveals Himself. In other words, He comes on the scene as a relationship God. He's the one that will not withdraw His eyes from the righteous. The Creator of the universe is the one who will not withdraw His eyes from the righteous, the one who was and is and shall always continue to be, the God who came from nowhere. I like what this old Baptist black preacher said. His name has slipped me. I did know it. He's a great man, a great preacher. But he said this, and I heard this many years ago, and I wrote it down in my Bible. And hopefully I can remember what it says. But he said, God came from nowhere. And standing on nothing, He reached out where there was nothing to grab. He caught something when there was nothing to grab, and he hung it on nothing and he told it to stay there. Can I tell you tonight that there is a God whose eyes are upon you that is the creator of this universe, and he cares about me and you. He cares about me and you. In Genesis chapter 17, the Bible said he appeared to Abraham and he said, "Walk before me and be thou perfect, for I am the Almighty God." The Almighty God in the Hebrew is El Shaddai. El meaning God, the strong one. Shaddai in the Hebrew comes from the word shed, meaning the woman's breast. And from the woman's breast comes nourishment for the baby, comes strength for the baby, comes satisfaction for the baby. What is that saying? He was saying to Abraham, "I will pour myself into your life as a mother pours herself into the life of her child, and I will satisfy you, and I will nourish you, and I will strengthen you." I'm talking about that one, that he will not withdraw his eyes from the righteous. I'm talking about the one in Exodus chapter 15 when it says, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." In the Hebrew, Jehovah Rapha. I'm talking about that he tonight that is our healer will not withdraw his eyes from the righteous. I'm talking about the one that Abraham saw on the top of the mount when he went up to sacrifice his child and Isaac. And Isaac said, "Daddy, here's the wood and here's the fire and here's everything. Where is the sacrifice?" And the Bible said Abraham looked and he saw a ram caught in a thicket. And he named the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will see or the Lord will provide. I'm talking about that he tonight, the one who will supply tonight. I'm talking about that he. I'm talking about the one in the book of Judges when all the world was coming against the children of God, the world of that day, and they were in bondage and having to hide out. God came and he began to speak to a man and brought about a great deliverance. And the Bible said that he built an altar and he called the name of it Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. I'm talking about that he tonight, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. I'm talking about Ezekiel chapter 48, Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. I'm talking about that he tonight. I'm talking about Jehovah Nissi, the one that was there where Moses was, as long as he was in battle and as long as he held his hands heavenward, the battle was being won. But he couldn't hold his hands there but so long. And after a while, his arms began to fall down. And they came, Aaron and Hur, on one side of him and lifted up this arm and one side and lifted up the other arm. And they raised his hands upward and the battle was won. And he built an altar there. And he called the name of the place Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, or the Lord our victory. You ever go down the road and you see on game day those banners flapping in the wind on the top of the cars? You know what they're saying? Our team's going to win. 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 I'm telling you tonight that his very name means our banner. My team's going to win. How about yours tonight? My team's going to win. How about yours tonight? I'm talking about that he. That he. That he withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous. He is more than enough tonight. He can comprehend all of human life. He saw Joseph. When Joseph was in the pit, out in the middle of nowhere, forsaken by his brethren, God had a plan for Joseph. God had a plan for his life. And his brothers tried to kill him and tried to snuff it out. But the he that I'm talking about tonight, did not withdraw his eyes from Joseph in that pit. Neither will he withdraw his eyes in your own personal pit of sorrow and calamity. I'm telling you tonight that he will not withdraw his eyes away from you. When David ran with 5 smooth stones and a little sling, and he ran toward that 9.5 to 10.5 foot giant, and his armor was stripped off of him, and all he had on was his shepherd's clothes, but he ran like a victor because his eyes was not withdrawn from the righteous. And God saw David as he ran toward Goliath, and God directed that rock, the Holy Ghost of God directed that rock to go right between the eyes of the giant. Did you know that God is able to deliver you tonight against the giants in your life? Because he withdraweth not his eyes from David, and he withdraweth not his eyes from you tonight. Over and over, we read of the children of Israel in Exodus and how that they were in bondage and how they were treated unfairly and how they were almost lost their life, and many did lose their lives. But over and over we hear these words, and God looked, and God saw, and God saw, and God looked. And one part of one verse in that chapter says, I know their sorrows. Why? Because he is the Jehovah tonight that knows when we're in bondage and the devil's trying to wrap us up in bounds and bonds and cords. He can see us tonight. Sister Dorothy, he sees you when you're laying in your bedroom, and there ain't nobody else that can see you in that bedroom. But he withdraweth not his eyes from Dorothy Mathis on Greg Street in that bedroom. And he looks over you and gives you strength to get up in the morning and walk and move and breathe and have your being. The God that I'm talking about tonight comprehends and knows all of human life. And he is able to move in whatever need that you might have in your life. He is more than able to do it. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous. Listen to me. When I was in school, I loved English. I don't speak like I loved English, but I loved English. And I loved to conjugate verbs, and I loved all those things. I loved to study about the subjects and the predicates and the adverbs and the prepositions, and I loved the diagram sentence, and I just took joy in all of that. And one of the things that I learned is the word ETH on the end of a word means a continuation, a continual thing. This Bible said, He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous. That means he don't never withdraw his eyes from the righteous. Just like he said, he knows when you get up, Miss Jean, and he knows when you sit down. Listen, he sees me when my foot's propped up on my recliner and I'm grunting to get up. He sees me do that. He don't ever withdraw his eyes. He never stops looking, Phyllis. He never stops looking. He's looking at you tonight. And he's looking at me. And he is the God that loves us with an everlasting love. And he rejoices in doing good for his children. Listen to me. Tonight, those of us that have children, doesn't it just give you the greatest pleasure to help them when they're in trouble? Doesn't it just give you the greatest pleasure in the world? If they stomp their toe, if they're little, and you bandaged it up, and you wipe the tears from their eyes, and they quit hurting, doesn't that just give you pleasure? If when they're older, and they run out of money before the next payday, and you slip a 20 into their hand, doesn't that just give you ominous joy to know that you helped them to make it to the next payday. Or maybe you go out to eat and you know they don't have enough money to buy nothing but just a cheeseburger. But you say, honey, go ahead on and get a steak. Daddy, mama, I've got the meal tonight. Don't that just give you joy? How much more joy does God get, John, from helping us when we're in the pit like Joseph? Are we facing a giant like David? Or we need healing like some of the other men in the Bible. When the man came to Jesus that time and he said, I know if you're willing, you can cleanse me. And Jesus looked at that leper and he said, I will. Be thou made whole. I want you to know God is willing to do whatever he has to do. And it gives him great pleasure and great delight to do for you tonight. So I gave you what the Lord gave me to give you. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous. He knows it all. He's omnipresent. He's every place at the same time. He's omniscient. He knows everything there is to know. He's able tonight to do whatever we need. I want you to think for just a minute something you need the Lord to do in your life. It may be for somebody else in your life. It may be for your child. It may be for a friend. Whatever it may be, I want you to stand to your feet. Everybody across this congregation that can, will you just stand to your feet for just a minute? And I want you to think about what you need God to do in your life. And if God doesn't withdraw his eyes from the righteous, that means that right this moment, his eyes is on this congregation. And he's more than enough to meet any need that you might have. You don't know, Judy, how hard it is. It doesn't make any difference. God said, is anything too hard for me? Is anything too hard for me? No. So think about that need for just a moment. And I'm going to pray for you. Father, I thank you, God, that in Hebrews chapter 4, you have invited us to come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace, that unmerited favor, something we didn't earn and something we didn't deserve, that mercy and grace in the time of need. Lord, all these people that are standing here tonight, and me included, Lord, we have needs in our life. And Lord, your eyes is not withdrawn from us because we are righteous, Lord. We're your people. We're saved by the blood of the Lamb, and your blood has been applied to our heart. So, Lord, whatever the need is, our vision, our heart, our bones, our nerves, our husbands, our wives, our brothers, our sisters, our children, our friends, someone with cancer, someone laying in the hospital with no hope. God, all these things are open before you and you know everything. And Lord, you said if we ask that we'd receive. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. So, Lord, we seek for your mercy. And we seek for your grace in the time of need. And we ask you to move in our hearts and our lives tonight. We ask you, Lord, to do miracles. For you are God of miracles, and I believe in miracles, Lord. So I ask you right now in the name of Jesus to do miracles in this place and in the lives of people that people are standing in place of. Do miracles in our heart. Lord, as we leave this place, let us wake up and let us go to bed and let us get up and let us sit down with the knowledge that your eyes are ever upon us. Lord, everything that you do We'll bow our unworthy heads and we'll give your name the praise and the honor and the glory forever in Jesus' name.